future. Can't see no sky. My feet are so heavy. So is my head. I wish I was a baby.
Say hey, it is Monday. The time is 5:31. Listen to Say Hey here on KZFR, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio program. My name is Jake, joined as always by Noobs. How are you?
I feel fantastic, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, my a good friend of mine just bought herself a massage table.
Hey.
And I was the first recipient.
Well, there you
on
go.
On said table,
the
and I feel great.
Maiden voyage.
Yes.
All right.
Feeling good.
You
feeling
do have,
loose.
You do have a glow about you.
Thank you.
You rode your bike
it's
down here.
It's not just that I'm sweating?
No, no. Okay. It's not just the sweat.
Okay.
No, I wouldn't lie to you. It's a nice day for a bike ride, too.
It was.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we had a fun week of sporting.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of baseball to talk about, as always.
Yeah, we're basically at the three-quarter pole.
We're at the three-quarter point, and as people know, we've got an NFL ban going on up here.
We do, which Drew is nice enough to stick with last week.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We talked a little bit about U Sports and how Harrison, you know, made his kids bring his trophies back, the participation trophies.
Right.
But
right.
I felt that was kind of transcends.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's more about U Sports than
totally.
NFL.
Exactly. So let's get right into the thick of things. It was another weekend of some separation from the pack here and there.
Definitely.
And I'll start off by saying the Dodgers have lost five straight.
Mm-hmm.
The Astros swept them.
Yeah.
The Astros are now four games
fashion.
Up in the West on the Rangers.
Right. Who you had predicted was going to be the doormat, if I remember, in the
yeah,
NLS.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I was with you on that one.
Yeah, I mean, and they played very poorly to start the year.
Yeah.
And they've slowly but surely turned themselves into a halfway decent ball club
yeah.
again, which I guess shouldn't be surprising considering they typically are these days, you know, a pretty darn good team. They went to the World Series twice in, what, 3 years?
I believe it was twice in a row, wasn't it?
Yeah, they lost the
they
Giants,
lost the Giants and, the Cardinals.
And the Cardinals. Yeah, back-to-back
and, you
years.
Know, and the
yeah.
Cardinals, they took them to seven games, and it took a heroic effort by Pujols
yeah.
to make sure that the St. Louis got that one. But
David
yeah.
Freeze, yeah, Lance Berkman.
And Ron Washington's back with the A's now, who was the manager of that Rangers team.
Right, that's right. Yeah, Wash, he's popular.
He
the
is.
Players love him.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Astros, they look like they could win that division, which is I think awesome.
I think it is awesome too, especially because people had been kind of predicting that they were going to be good in the next few years, but
mm-hmm.
I think this has all kind of happened a lot quicker than most people predicted.
Yeah.
You know, with Keuchel and Kazmir and
Castro.
Yeah, they've got a decent pitching staff, like especially shortened in the postseason should be pretty good. They hit a lot of home runs. They do strike
they do.
Out a lot.
They do.
But you know,
but they have good pitching.
They've got good pitching.
Yep.
And honestly, that division is really nothing to write home about. The Angels have been floundering.
Mm-hmm.
The Rangers,
they're just
a few games.
Team,
basically
really.
A 500 team.
Yep.
But could sneak in there, especially with Baltimore kind of faltering recently.
Yeah, I mean, right now, the two wild card teams, I think, are the Yankees and the Rangers.
Right. Because I think the Blue Jays are half game up on New York right now.
Half game up on New York. Yeah. Which is bizarre that the Rangers could possibly sneak into the wild cards. You know, I mean, we still got a month left.
We do.
And there are several teams at that 63 win kind of area right now.
But thinking about Cole Hamels maybe going in that one game playoff.
That was a good move,
you know,
for them.
Yeah. And a lot of people were thinking that was a move more about next year.
Yeah, because he's got years left on his contract.
He does. But they just got Holland back, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think he'd only had one start previously this year.
Mm-hmm.
They will be getting Yu Darvish next year. Let's not
True.
Look ahead too
yep.
far. But
yep.
this is a team that could be reckoned with, especially in that ballpark. They can put up some runs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we talked about this a couple weeks ago about Prince Fielder maybe being comeback player of the year.
Yep.
Depending on how the voters treat A-Rod.
A-Rod's fallen off a bit, too.
He has.
Prince is... He's really stayed on it. So
yeah.
I'm thinking Prince could be that guy. And then the Blue Jays, they trounce the Angels.
Yeah.
Just staying hot, scoring a ton of runs.
Didn't they just like set a franchise record this weekend for a three-game series?
Yeah. Yeah, just beating up on them.
Yeah.
And that's no surprise when you look at that lineup. We've talked
it's
about
ridiculous.
It before. It is
It's like a fantasy lineup.
Hitting. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, literally, you could start all those guys in a fantasy team and you'd
right.
be good.
Right. It is really powerful. And then, of course, out west, we were talking about the Dodgers. They're not playing well. If it's not one thing, it's the other. It's normally lately the bullpen not getting it done slash not scoring a lot of runs.
Right.
They're pretty much relying on a couple of guys to carry the pitching staff, being Kershaw and Greinke.
And they haven't gotten wins recently because
they haven't gotten wins because
Jansen just blew a save. Jock Peterson just got demoted.
And you know what? Deservedly so. The dude is hitting like 160 since the All-Star break. He's got 140-plus strikeouts in less than 400 official at-bats.
Do you think that has... I mean, obviously, he was striking out before the All-Star game.
Prodigiously.
But I've heard some people kind of throw out the idea that the home run derby wrecked his swing. Do you buy into that?
No, I put that right there with the Madden curse.
Where okay.
If you like believing in silly superstitions,
right.
Sure, it's absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
But... no way. I mean, Jock Peterson, his numbers in the minors backed it up. He strikes out at a prodigious rate.
Right.
And
but at least he was hitting home runs before.
At least he was hitting home runs. Now he's just not doing anything other than playing good defense.
Right.
So he's got benched.
Kendrick's on the DL. That's
Kendrick's
huge.
On the DL because he was having a good year. Adding Chase Utley is meaningless. He's at the end of his career, and I just don't even see why.
And he's been playing like every day since they brought him over. I'm like shocked.
Yeah. No, they gave up a pretty decent prospect for him. I don't really see that move. Amazingly, the Giants go 2-5 on their road trip against the Cardinals and Pittsburgh, and they pick up a game on the Dodgers.
Yeah,
that's one where one team is playing poorly enough where you can still gain ground. But look at this: the Diamondbacks are only 5 out.
I know.
No one talks about the Diamondbacks.
That's crazy.
You know,
because honestly, the way that they're playing right now, those guys are raking. And they actually could win that division, believe it or not.
They could. I mean, if the Giants and the Dodgers continue to play yo-yo ball and just as beat up as the Giants are, as kind of underperforming as the Dodgers are being,
right.
There's no reason that Arizona couldn't sneak through. Although I will say their starting pitching in Arizona leaves a lot to be desired. They're not, that's not a good starting staff at all. But they have a lot of pop. They got Goldschmidt putting up MVP.
Peralta's playing well. Castillo.
Yep.
They've got guys like Pollock.
They can hit the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. And if they do get into the later innings, Ziegler's a pretty good closer. I think
Ziegler's
he's converted his last 22.
Yeah, it's just a matter of can their starting rotation give them enough innings to stay in ball games.
I think that's one of those teams. They're kind of like, they could be like the Astros in a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? A lot of young, good talent, and they're just like they're a few pitchers away from being a real contender.
And it is worth mentioning, and we've probably said it before, Tony La Russa is in charge of that organization now, and it is not a coincidence that they've turned around and had a decent year after firing Kirk Gibson.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, that guy knows what he's doing, period.
And I think he brought Dave Stewart in the front office too, right?
Yep. And they've got more talent coming at the low level because they haven't played real well the past couple of years since winning the division in 2011.
Yeah, didn't they just get the kid from Vanderbilt, the shortstop?
Was that them?
I think they got
Vandy shortstop.
Yeah, like the number one pick. So I think they're looking good for the future.
Right. And then the Mets are staying hot, and the Nationals are one game over 500 and 5 out. And I believe with the way the Mets are playing, and now they get David Wright back, I truly believe they're winning this division. It would have to be a blind turnaround by the Nats, and the Mets would have to tank with that pitching and that newfound offense. I don't see it happening.
I don't either. David Wright came back today and hit a home run in his first at-bat.
Oh, you better believe it. In fact, we got a clip of that right here, Noobs. I think we should fire it up here.
David Wright preparing for what has got to be a little nervous moment for him. His first at-bat since April the 14th. He hits one to deep left field. That is gone! David Wright brings himself back into the lineup with thunder into the second deck.
That's David Wright going deep in Philly.
We have seen this act
and you know what? I really like David Wright. He's hard not to like. He plays the game the right way. He's the Mets' all-time RBI leader, I think, at this point.
Is he really?
Yeah, it's kind of a bizarre stat. But yeah, now he's back. Yeah, I mean, that means Uribe is coming off the bench more often.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great stick off the bench.
Absolutely.
I totally believe in the way this Mets team has been rearranged and is playing right now.
Yeah,
I really do.
They were historically a bad offense at the beginning of this year, and then with all these signings, Kelly Johnson, who hasn't played too much, but like you said, can come off the bench, and give you a big bat. Lucas Duda is hurt, but he should be back. And that pitching staff, I mean, DeGrom kind of got lit up in the first inning tonight, but, you know, with Syndergaard, they just skipped Matt Harvey's start yesterday. They're talking about doing that a little bit here down the stretch, which I think is fine as long as they're not talking about shutting anybody down, a la Washington with Strasburg a couple years ago.
Right.
But if you miss a start here with some of these rookies or younger guys, I think that's fine. You want them to be fresh in October. And honestly, with a five-game lead, there's not really too much to start worrying about right now. There is a three-game series at the end of the year with the Nationals, though, the final weekend, so that could be interesting.
It could be, yeah. I think the odds are that Matt Williams gets fired at the end of this season, because with all that talent, it's hard to keep a manager when you lose.
Yeah, I mean, and everybody's been kind of anointing them for the last 3 or 4 years, and they even one of those, you know, they haven't won a playoff series, and they actually missed out on the playoffs altogether one of those years, and I believe 2 years ago, and so... You know, they're probably the underachieving team of this decade.
I would say, since the Phillies kind of, you know, petered out and the Nats became this kind of hot item.
They were supposed to be the kings of the East.
Yeah.
You know?
It just hasn't worked out.
It hasn't happened. I think we're kind of in a weird scenario, though, in the National League. We touched earlier on how the Rangers might sneak into that wild card spot. You know, the Yankees are, you know, they're the Yankees, but they're not, you know, they're not exactly lighting it up right now. Not like they were. The AL, so, you know, the wild card maybe not so good, but with the NL, you've got the third and fourth best record in entire major leagues.
Yeah.
And those guys are going to play, you know, the Cubs and Pirates.
But I want to say, though, that I think there's a very real chance that the Pirates catch the Cardinals in this coming month.
Absolutely. But nevertheless, that still
leaves two of the best
two
records
of the
in
best
baseball.
One of those teams is going to get knocked out in one night.
Which
I think it's silly. I think... you know, I don't want to get into it too much, but I really think that Major League Baseball needs to take a look at maybe playing a three-game series for the wild card, even a doubleheader.
I mean, if you were going to add the extra round,
make it worthwhile.
A series.
Yeah,
you know?
And make it a quick three-game series, maybe all in one ballpark, whatever.
And I'm still for bringing the schedule back to 154.
Right.
All for that.
And, you know, the thing, too, is because they're trying to make it advantageous for the division winners. Well, that's fine. So you're going to get... at least two of the best starters having not being available in the beginning of the next round. So it actually makes it more advantageous for the division winners. So I think it's just fair for these teams like the Pirates, Cubs, maybe the Cardinals, like you said, who are, you know, some of the top teams in baseball. It's just be fair to them to at least get a 2 out of 3-game series.
Right.
I think.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's something baseball needs to look at, especially if this happens over and over again. I mean, you're going to have a scenario now where, like, you know, with the Dodgers falling off and, you know, the Mets are good. The Giants could still win that division, but you're going to have, like, two of the division winners be weaker than the two wildcard teams.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
In the National League.
I think that's definitely the case. I mean, yeah, like, the Giants could still win the division, especially if they get healthy. I mean, they're missing...
a lot of pieces.
Panic. They're missing Pence. They're missing Pagan, which I don't really... put much stock in Pagan. He's really past his prime at this point.
But especially with Bird coming over from Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Hit a home run his first game.
Blanco's,
that was huge.
Blanco's playing good in center field.
Great defense the other night with that one robbery.
And still hitting like 290.
Yeah.
But the point being, they're missing Panic and Pence out of the lineup right now.
That hurts.
You know, they're really nursing their way through it. But, I mean, I don't know. The NL West is really a toss-up right now.
I mean,
the Giants have beaten up on the Dodgers this year head-to-head. Granted, they haven't played very recently. They're going to have a bunch of games coming up against one another. But it's like a total coin flip. I mean, the Dodgers are not playing well.
They're not.
Especially when you consider their payroll and just, you know, the bright lights and all that.
Absolutely.
They're really not playing well. So who knows how that's going to shake out. I honestly don't know. I mean, like, it wouldn't surprise me. One way or the other.
Yeah, I mean, with the way things are shaping up right now, I could totally see the winner. The potentially right now would be Pirates Cubs, but like you said, could be Cardinals Cubs. And who knows? Maybe even the Cubs leapfrog both of them. I don't see that happening, but both those teams are playing on fire.
Yeah, Bryant hit another walk off today.
Yeah. I can see one of those teams in the World Series.
Yeah, I mean, the National League is pretty deep right now in terms of the top tier teams,
right?
And part of that reason, whenever you see really, you know, a bulk of excellent records, that also means you've got some teams that are very poor.
Mm-hmm.
The National League has some of those too.
And Marlins,
Brewers, Rockies, you know, several teams having the Phillies, several teams having basically 100 lost seasons.
Although the Phillies have played pretty good since the break. The
Phillies have played a little better.
Yeah.
They have. But yeah, I really think that the National League is strong, although I still believe that the best all-around team in baseball is the Royals, top to bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah. That doesn't mean that they're going to win a seven-game series necessarily against, say, Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
But I truly believe they're the best top to bottom team in baseball. They can do a little bit of everything. They hit for pop more so than last year. They're still a fast team, although mm-hmm. they're not running as much. They play good defense. They've got a great bullpen. Starting pitching, but yeah, that's still my horse.
If they do get to this, the seventh inning though, it's pretty much lights out.
Yeah, for the most part.
So yeah, I mean Kansas City's phenomenal. I would say the NL is a little bit, like you said, stronger top to bottom,
mm-hmm.
Or at least definitely at the top.
At the top, yeah.
I'm kind of looking at like Toronto and KC maybe in the ALCS.
I pray.
Which could be a great series.
I just pray for that.
I
haven't had a series that doesn't involve the Giants that I've looked forward to the prospect of more
right.
than Kansas City and Toronto in the ALCS.
Yeah.
I so badly want that to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It makes me feel like a kid or something. Both those teams were super relevant when we were kids.
Absolutely. Late 80s, early 90s. Those teams were good.
They were really good.
I mean, they played in an ALCS, I believe, the year Kansas City won in 85.
They have two great fan bases.
They do.
It's a lot of blue on the field.
Yes.
The uniforms look good.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
No, it'll be awesome.
And they don't like each other.
Yeah, there's some bad blood from earlier.
Genuine bad blood from this season.
Yep.
It would just, that would be great.
Yeah.
Now, it's getting down towards the end of the season. The state of the Red Sox at this point.
Well, I mean, at least they've been hitting the ball a little bit better, and some of the young pitching looks okay. The knuckleballer, that kid, was it Miley? I can't even remember. I've been so tuned out with those guys, but they've got some young pitching coming up. I think if Clay Buchholz can come back healthy next year, that might be okay. But they've got some big contracts with Porcello, Sandoval, who I was never really super stoked at. I'm thinking hopefully they can move him over to first and make a big splash at third, like make a huge trade. I'd love to see like a guy like Nolan Arenado come over.
Oh, boy.
I think he would just be fantastic in Fenway. He's a great defender. This is probably just a pipe dream.
Yeah, Rockies better not be sending him out.
Well, the problem with the Rockies, and that's just, I feel bad for those guys because they got some guys that can absolutely hit with Cargo, Arenado. And LeMahieu, but it's like they just don't, they'll never ever have any pitching there.
But you know what's bizarre? And maybe we've talked about this before, maybe it was somebody else. I can't recall, other than a season or two from Yubaldo Jimenez, a pitcher that has come up in Colorado, left, and gone on to pitch well
right.
in other places.
No, it's like it destroys your career.
It either destroys your career or they're just so inept.
Right.
That they have no concept of drafting pitching because they play in an offensive ballpark. But they don't even draft guys that wind up being good later on the mound.
Yeah, you'd think they'd get a bunch of guys that, like sinker ballers, guys that try and, get the batters to hit the ball on the ground.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? As something, but like you said, I don't know if it's ineptitude coming from the front office or it's just something about that ballpark that just destroys guys' confidence.
Yeah, and yet they've drafted offensive players that produce outside of Coors Field.
Matt Holliday.
Yeah.
I mean, they can crush it.
Yeah, I mean, guys like Tulowitzki and Holliday and
absolutely.
Arenado and all these dudes.
They're legit
hitters.
They're
legit hitters,
totally.
Period. And they produce wherever they go. It's just really weird how they can't score on pitching. They can't even come close other than that one year from Yubaldo Jimenez where he started the All-Star game, right? And then he took a nosedive afterwards.
Well, they did get, 2007 when they made that miracle run of the World Series.
Uh-huh.
They had some decent pitching that year. But again, a couple kids that just kind of had that one lightning rod year and then just fell completely off.
Right.
But yeah, getting back to the Red Sox real quick, though, I know it's kind of a dead horse or whatever, but the one ray of light, though, is that I like the fact that they hired Dombrowski,
mm-hmm.
From the Tigers. I feel like the guy's got a great track record. He put together some good teams in Florida, put together, four straight Central champions in the Tigers, two AL pennants. So I feel like there's hope, especially because they spend money.
Right.
And they've shown in the past that they can shed some of these contracts, whether it was Carl Crawford, Josh Beckett, they were able to dump those guys.
Yeah, they're going to have to make a commitment to upgrading that pitching staff, though.
Absolutely.
Top to bottom.
Top to bottom. I mean, Tozawa, after Uehara went down, who was having a pretty good year, Tozawa's blown four saves this month alone.
Right.
They brought over Machi from San Francisco, but I don't think
he's a bum.
He's not the guy.
No.
So they're going to have to go out and get a top line closer, like a Chapman, someone like that, and then they're going to have to get another two or three guys and hope that Buchholz is healthy.
Right.
Yeah, and that's asking a lot.
And that's in a culture of the the AL East changing a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Toronto with those contracts
set up to play some ball
for 3 or 4 years. They're going to be good.
Yeah.
I mean, the Yankees have kind of tapped into the fountain of youth this year with, you know, A-Rod and guys like Teixeira and Beltran having decent years.
But they're an old team.
And I don't expect that to happen next year. I think Baltimore, though, with guys like Chris Davis, Jones, you know, Baltimore could be good for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And I think Toronto, like you said, I think it's Toronto's division to lose for the next 3 or 4 years.
I think so, too. And I'm perfectly fine with that.
Yeah. All our predictions come true on the show. It just takes a little while.
It just takes time, yeah.
You know, you called it.
I was only 2 years off the pace with Toronto.
That's all right.
That's right. And maybe in two years, the White Sox will win the Central. Oh, man. Let's move on here on Say Hey. Some interesting golf this weekend. Davis Love III becomes the third oldest PGA Tour winner in the history.
Ever.
Of professional golf.
Yeah.
That's amazing. 51 years old in like 4 months or something like that. And it was at Wyndham, which he has won twice before, 92 and 2006. And really only a notable tournament right at the end of the year because, you know, they kind of played into the FedEx Cup standings and all that.
Yeah.
Was not a stacked field, especially coming at the week after the PGA Championship.
Right.
But as we were just discussing off air, a win is a win. And Davis Love is 51 years old and he just won a golf tournament.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
Yeah. And this is a guy that he's always been pretty classy with the media and well liked. He's a good friend of John Madden, my dad pointed out.
Oh, really?
So if you're friends with John Madden, you know,
you gotta be
okay.
Cool guy, right? Yeah, you gotta be all right.
You gotta be all right. And, you know, Tiger Woods competed this week. He did play some decent golf.
Yes, he did.
And you were quick to point out that ESPN was spinning it quite dramatically.
Oh, man. You would have thought that this was the PGA Championship.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was just like nonstop Tiger all weekend. And, you know, it was nice to see him shoot well. But like you said, you know, the field wasn't that stacked. And obviously, you're playing against the course, not everybody else. But, you know, this idea that if he had finished second or better that he was going to, you know, qualify for this FedEx thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, first of all, who cares about the FedEx playoff? Nobody's ever cared about it, I mean, that I know about.
If you like golf, you like it because it's a tournament with a bunch of good players. But it's not like anyone's like...
No, it's not a major. It's not even considered like the sixth. You know what I mean?
It's not Pebble Beach.
No.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, if Tiger is able to continue to play well, then great. Good for golf. But like... I'm not on this Tiger watch anymore.
No.
I'm over this whole thing
that, you know, even yesterday on the broadcast, I think one of the commentators on CBS said something like, well, you know, golf really benefits from Tiger Woods playing well. And, you know, I think that's quite evident this weekend with the extra ticket sales. And it's like, well, I mean, golf isn't doing worse when Tiger plays well, but the state of golf is better than it's been in years right now. And that's with him having his worst season of his career.
Yeah, I don't know why the media is holding on to it. I heard Jason Whitlock say that last week. He's like, he basically said the same thing. The PGA Tour does better financially with Tiger playing well. And I couldn't disagree more. I mean, granted, there was a stretch there where he was huge for the game and maybe even saved it from being just completely always thought of as an old white man's game.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, with this youth movement, with Spieth and Rory and, you know,
a lot of Europeans,
and Jason Day and just all the, like, the Europeans. And it's like golf is like hip again. Like, you know, whether it's fashion or like the girlfriends or like the music videos that these guys are making together, they're having fun. Guys like Bubba Watson having fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's not, to me, it's like golf is fine. Golf is not in bad shape.
No, not at all. And also noting that Davis Love is the Ryder Cup captain for 2016 again.
Good.
After Watson had that disastrous spell. And, you know, I don't think he's going to pull his own card, but when you're winning tournaments at 51, stranger things have happened.
Right.
The captains do make these bizarre choices for captain's pick and all that.
For sure.
You never know.
And, you know, even just for the morale of the team to know that their captain just
is a totally legit player.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, where I guess Watson kind of like really just kind of like verbally undressed the team last year.
Yeah, and too was legit a couple for his own good.
Two years ago or whatever it was. Ryder Cup's, what, every three?
I feel like it's every other.
It's either every other or every three.
I think it's even years.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's going to be great, 2016. I'm really looking forward to that. Not just because the Americans, you know, haven't been winning much, but the power balance is really, I feel, becoming very even between the Europeans and the Americans, especially with Spieth coming on and all this. I'm looking forward to that tournament a lot. I think it's in Minnesota.
Okay, so it's back on American soil.
Yeah.
Because they go back and forth.
Yeah,
right?
My brother and I have kicked around the thought of going out there and checking it out, which
that'd be cool.
Would be awesome.
Yeah.
I haven't been to Minnesota. That's one of my three states.
In the summertime,
I've been stuck
on
three for so long. Yeah.
What's the other two?
Minnesota, North Dakota, Michigan.
You've been to South Dakota?
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. Actually, technically, I have not been to Alaska. But I kind of qualify that as a separate trip altogether.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, you're not knocking that out. Exactly.
Yeah. So those are my three, you know, here they are states.
There you go.
But, yeah, golf's in a good way. We got a few minutes left. I'm going to throw you a couple of softballs, and I just want your take.
Okay.
Thoughts on Serena Williams?
She just won the Southern and Western, right, in Cincinnati this weekend. Looks good. It looks primed to win the U.S. Open, which starts next Monday.
The slam.
That would be the Serena's. Yeah, just the regular Grand Slam. Mm-hmm. She'd be the first woman to do it since Steffi Graf.
Yep. And what, like the early 90s or something?
I want to say 88.
88, okay.
So it's, you know, a good 27 years or so for the game of tennis. I think that, to me, it's amazing what she's doing because I remember growing up, tennis was like a young girl's game.
Jennifer Capriati, when you're like
13 or whatever. Yeah,
yeah, you're a has been.
You're a has been in 20s.
And yeah, like gymnast or something.
Totally.
Yeah.
And so what she's doing is just phenomenal. I hope she does it. I've never really been a big fan because I kind of felt like she's got this attitude, but I'm coming around on her just because. Like with anything, I love to see people dominate at an older age. Like I never rooted for Jordan until the last championship.
Yeah.
Then I was like, well, he's got to go 6-6. He can't have a blemish.
Right.
And I never rooted for Federer. Now I root for Federer.
Right.
You know, so that's just kind of how I do.
Yeah.
And so I'm rooting for her. I hope she gets it done. To me, it's like there's her and everybody else.
Oh,
you know? It's not like the men's game where you've got like four or five powerhouses.
Right.
You know? Which also, this is going to be good with Djokovic and Federer's playing well, Stan the man.
And to comment further on what you're talking about, kind of the domination factor and how sometimes you almost root against it because it's like, you know, the same old thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes, though, you see an athlete like Serena Williams and you're like, this is just historical.
Yeah.
Like the level at which she's competing and the rate at which she wins these tournaments, you're just like, well, let's just see how many she can win.
Right.
Like, win them all. Like,
yeah.
Until you hang it up, and then hang it up like Jim Brown or something.
Right.
And go out while you're still dominant.
Just drop the mic and walk away or whatever. Yeah. Not that he did that. But, yeah, he was the best player, and he played, you know, 8 years and walked away.
Yeah.
And maybe it's a good thing because, you know, maybe he wouldn't be in, you know, the mental condition he's in now.
Right.
I mean, he's been a great force for social change, you know, over the last, you know, what, 30, 40 years. You know what I mean? He's still like, you know... He's still a very important member of society, whereas, like, you see a lot of these guys, they play 12, 15 years, and they're not the same.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to talk about head injuries. I mean, we just had a quarterback, right, Kramer, who just had a failed suicide attempt.
Right.
Did you hear about this?
I don't know, actually.
Eric Kramer, yeah. He's a former Detroit Lion quarterback.
Oh, okay.
And he's only, like, in his early 50s or whatever, but he suffered a gunshot, self-inflicted gunshot
wound,
and a failed suicide attempt.
Okay.
And so, you know, it's just sad, you know, with football to see these things continue to happen.
Right. We're trying to stay off.
We just talk about the NFL. But so you're right, though. I love to see guys like go out on top. And so I'd love to see Federer win a couple more.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to see Serena's got to catch what, Martina Navratilova?
I think she's the all-time leader for major. What do I call them? Majors.
Grand slams. So if she's able to catch Martina Navratilova, I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah, it would be cool. And that's going to take us right up until about 6. Going to do a little underwriting here, noobs. This has been made possible, of course, by the generous contributions of KZFR members. And then we don't want to forget, of course, Buffalo Wild Wings, Chico's newest restaurant opening. Well, they open on August 9th. Buffalo Wild Wings features 36 beers on tap, wall-to-wall HD TVs with nonstop sports, wings, and more at 801 East Avenue. Open every day, 11 a.m. till midnight. More information at buffalowildwings.com. And then we got the Zeppelin Works, specializing in Volkswagen, BMW, Porsche, Audi, Volvo, and Mercedes since 1981. Zeppelin Works is a full-service repair facility providing technical expertise for any European automotive problem or maintenance. More info can be found by calling 893-0757 or visiting ZeppelinWorks.com. There we go, Noobs. Half hour gone by, just like that.
Just like that.
Just like that. And stay tuned next week, folks, and we'll see you real soon. Have a good day.
Peace.